Hey, it's Mike Valenti. Did you know the Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valenti Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Just when you think you're out, they pull you back in. The Tiger win has been a huge source of discussion today on the show. We also have a good football team, and this is just the best way for us to make sure we talk some football on a day that's all about baseball. We got Ross Tucker joins us on Thursdays. He's our Odyssey NFL insider. Make sure to check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Lions are playing a big game this week, huh?
Yes, they're playing a huge game. I know you guys have Tigers fever. Don't worry. Listen, my daughters and I stayed up to watch the Phillies finally win a playoff game last night against the Dodgers. So, but playoff baseball might be the most different sport from the regular season of any sport. It's crazy how different it is. But yes, we got to talk Lions. Huge game Sunday night. And in fact, you know, the Lions, good week to talk to me. They're number one, guys, in not only my power rankings on the Tuesday Ross Tucker Football Podcast, but I have a betting podcast, the Even Money Betting Podcast, which is all about the numbers, analytics. And my co-host, Steve Fezzik, who's a professional handicapper, he has the Lions as his number one power-rated team. So it's not just my observation. It's also based on the underlying stats and metrics and yards per play, we both have the Lions as the best team in football.
Oh, we got the trifecta because I put them at number one yesterday as well. So I think it's the first time maybe we've agreed unanimously on just about anything. And so go a little bit deeper into why is it now working for the Lions? And I think maybe the bigger question is, what is going on in KC? Mahomes is still there, and everybody believes as long as he's on the field, they got a chance to win, and they do, but why is this Kansas City team so different than they've been in the last couple of years?
Well, let's start with the Lions, right? Because they probably have the best O-line in football right now, which is crazy impressive. I mean, there's no way I thought after Ragnow retired that I'd be on with you guys in October talking about them having the best O-line in football, especially, you know, you're playing a second-year sixth-round pick in Mahogany at left guard. You got Glasgow, who's kind of become like a journeyman at center. Ratledge at right guard is a rookie. And even Taylor Decker has been banged up. I don't know how much they're paying Hank Fraley, the O-line coach, but it's not enough. I mean, because what he's gotten out of that group is remarkable. And then defensively, obviously, I can't believe now Terry Arnold is banged up. Hopefully these reports that's not as bad as they initially thought are correct, because it's just crazy how many injuries the Lions get every year. Very, very frustrating. But with what they're doing up front on the D-line and obviously Aiden Hutchinson, that gives them a chance defensively. The Chiefs, I think, are going to be okay. You know, watching them the other night, they had a couple breaks go against them. You know, Mahomes had a 99-yard pick six, which looks like James Harrison in the Super Bowl. But they're moving it better than they did the first couple weeks. When they get Rashee Rice back, I think as soon as next week, his suspension was 6 weeks, I think the Chiefs are going to end up being a really, really good team as usual and a force to be reckoned with, because they've been better offensively the last couple weeks. Now they're going to get Rashee Rice back, and I think they'll be really good offensively. I think it's good for the Lions that they're getting them before they get their number one target back.
Mahomes is Mahomes. Everybody looks at him as the best of the best, and he's got the rings to prove it. The quarterback on the other side, though, has proven quite a bit in Jared Goff. What have you seen from him in this toe-to-toe matchup?
Yeah, I love Goff, and it's funny because I literally on Thursdays – I record almost an hour with Greg Cosell, the NFL Films legend, and he loves Goff. And the point he made I thought was really interesting. A couple points, Jim. One is that those, like, deep in-breaking routes that Goff is so good at in those windows against zone coverage, those are a lot harder than they look. I mean, those are difficult NFL throws that Goff makes with regularity. And I think the thing I've come to the conclusion with, watching Sam Darnold play well in Seattle and Baker Mayfield play so well for the Bucks, is, you know, I get into baseball when it becomes the playoffs, and you realize most of these guys don't really hit their prime until they're 27, 28, and they've been playing pro baseball for 5, 6 years, whether it's the minors or majors or whatever. The more I'm around it, the more I think that that might be the case with quarterbacks. I know Goff had moments of brilliance when he was with the Rams. I think some of these guys, they just need to get, you know, 70 starts under their belt. They just need, you know, it's a skill, it's a craft like anything else. And I think Goff is in the prime of his career, right? He's in a good system, but he's played a lot of football. He's seen it all. And we're seeing it with all these guys around the NFL. Daniel Jones is another one where it's a combination of being in the right scheme, the right system, the right guys around them, but also they're at the experience level now where they've kind of seen everything that these defenses can throw at them.
I think it's a great point, and I've always been a proponent of, if you have the luxury of sitting a rookie quarterback, no matter where you draft them, he should sit for a year, be seasoned. It's such a different game at the NFL level than it is the college level, and there's other examples like Baker Mayfield, and I know that he's getting some MVP buzz. Sam Darnold last year continuing it with the Seattle Seahawks, but I want to go to your team, your hometown of Philly, and ask the question of, and I think I asked this last week, but what is the struggle for Philadelphia? And I say that, I know that they're 4-1, but they just haven't been the same Philly team. Is it because they're not dominating up front on the O-line? I still think they're a really good O-line, but you mentioned the two guards that the Lions have. They've got a new guard in Tyler Steen, but it doesn't feel like that should be a limiting factor in regarding to only handing the ball off once to Saquon Barkley in the second half of last week's game.
Well, yeah, there's a lot there. I mean, number one, they're a running team. That's the basis of their offense, and we saw that last year with Saquon going crazy, and they're not running it that well. You know, Landon Dickerson, I don't know when he'll be back now at left guard, but he's a difference maker, and he's just been so banged up. You know, he had one surgery after the Super Bowl, then he had another surgery during training camp. He's just kind of beat up, and he'll be out, I think, now for a few weeks. Cam Jurgens, John, had a back surgery, and I had a back surgery when I was in Buffalo, and I did not feel very good that next year. It took me until that second year where I really felt good. So people are pointing to Steen because he's the new guy, but the reality is none of those guys are playing as well. Even Mailata at left tackle isn't playing as well. So when they've gone from being, I thought, probably clearly the best O-line last year to they're not even playing like a top five unit. That makes a big difference. Teams are playing them differently. They have a good feel for when you play against Hurts. Your best bet is really to play zone and not let him scramble. Believe it or not, make him throw the ball from the pocket because he kills teams with his legs. And to your point against the Broncos, he didn't have one scramble. He had 3 yards rushing. They gave the ball to Saquon one time in the second half. And I don't know how much of that is because they had some success throwing it in the first half, how much of that's because A.J. Brown was kind of complaining that he wasn't getting the ball enough. But they're not in a good way. You'll have a chance to watch them tonight against the Giants. I mean, if they can't get it right against the Giants, then they really have problems.
He's Ross Tucker. He's our NFL insider. It's brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Let's go back to Sunday night. Who wins the game?
Ooh, I'm going to go Chiefs. And listen, I'm the guy that just said on the Ross Tucker podcast that the Lions are the number one team. But I have, you know, this is just the way the NFL works. This is not like X's and O's logic. I don't see the Kansas City Chiefs being 2-4 after this game. Right. And as much as I love the Lions And I think the Lions are going to win that division, and the Lions have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. I don't think the Lions are going 16-1. I think they're going to lose another game along the line. This would be the game that they would lose. You know, a Sunday night game in Kansas City. Arrowhead will be going crazy. You know, the Chiefs had that 17-game win streak in a row in one-score games. This year, they're 0-3 in one-score games. I think that that evens out a little bit. I think it's probably a one-score game, but Mahomes' magic gets it done late for the first time this year, and the Chiefs win a close, awesome game. I think it's probably like 27-24. Really fun game.
He's Ross Tucker.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Nobody thought they'd lose to the Jags either.
Listen.
And nobody thought the Lions would beat the Ravens.
Lions by 30. Lions by 30 for sure. After the Tigers close them out tomorrow night.
That's there you right. go. He's yes, Ross Tucker. Yes, we love checking in, yeah. talking ball with him on Thursdays. Ross, thanks so much.
Bud. See you guys.
All right, coming up next, with what the Lions have done three of the last 4 weeks, it's been on my mind. Wardrobe change next, 97.1. All right, guys, nobody's planning to replace their roof. Nobody has the money saved up. It's an expensive endeavor, but it doesn't have to be daunting. It's a big investment. Choosing the right company matters. For over 30 years, Michigan homeowners have trusted Shaner Roofing. Here's why. Not only are they local experts with a proven track record, but every roof they install comes with a lifetime transferable warranty. That means your investment is protected when you own the home and even if you sell the home. Plus, Shaner Roofing has earned a 4.9-star Google rating. That's thousands of happy customers. It's built on decades of quality work and customer care. Your roof's aging, leaking. You just want peace of mind. Go to MyMichiganRoof.com. That's MyMichiganRoof.com, powered by Shaner Roofing, Michigan's trusted roofing experts.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Big time offensive breakout for the Tigers. Needed it. Season stays alive. Their two biggest offensive outbursts of the last month have come in elimination games. Game 3, wild card against Cleveland. And yesterday, pushing for a game 5 in Seattle with Scooble on the mound. We've been taking phone calls. We'll keep talking about the Tigers today. We got Thursday touchdown. Dear John at 9:35. And we're giving away Wings tickets. It's a busy time around here. And those who are watching on the Twitch stream may have noticed a wardrobe change.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
John, we've had strobe lights in the studio recently.
Uh-huh.
We've had disco on the brain with what the Lions have done three of the last 4 weeks.
And before you even say what you're doing on Twitch, since they can't see you, it's first of all, oh, no, what's the outfit? Put it all in the Chiefs if you're about to do the double-digit disco for the Lions. And followed up with, you're pretty fly for a white guy.
John, today is the Red Wings season opener. And while everyone is focused on a certain milestone, 100 years of hockey.
Wait, they're going to win 10 games?
Not quite. This will be 10 years without the playoffs. It's a double-digit disco.
What is this?
This is a double-digit disco.
There's such things as negative discos?
I do not think the Red Wings will make the playoffs this year. The time to talk about this is before the season starts. I do not believe this team had enough of an offseason to close the gap and get in the playoffs. No impactful players added, veterans. You're leaning on 3 20-year-olds. I think that's kind of an admission this is a developmental year. And I got to see between the years. McClellan was here last March. I got to see them actually break through. I don't trust Yzerman to add at the deadline if they're in the hunt. And as much as you want to sell me on John Gibson, he will only be as good as the defense in front of him. 10 years without the playoffs. This year, double-digit disco.
They're going to make the playoffs. At least that's how this works, right? And this is from the heart. Burn.
Yeah, I have tickets. I want to be wrong. I'm excited to watch the young players, but it reeks of we're not making it this year. We're still a year away, maybe another year away, right?
I'm disagreeing with you.
You think they're getting in?
Yes, I do. I like the youth movement, and I think McClellan a full year will matter. And I think I'm not trusting Montreal's rise last year. It was a last 25-game thing. I want to see him do it again. And I think if the Canadians and Senators are both near playoff teams, it will be hard for the Wings to make it at that point. But I think it's going to turn. I think
there's something to be said for teams like Ottawa and Montreal in this division that have shown they can push through and make the playoffs, as opposed to a Detroit group of veterans that have shown they can't. And if they're counting on Sandin Pelikan, I'm excited, but I'm not putting a 20-year-old in my top four and saying we're making the playoffs. That's a developmental year. That's not a serious offseason for a team that's trying to make the playoffs.
If Stevie signed on for this, I think he's ready. And there will be growing pains. Yep. But the fact that Yzerman signed off on him making the roster, I still trust Yzerman's opinion in that kind of fashion. Maybe not at the deadline and in terms of free agency and all that.
Tom, their third line is Kopp and Compher with MBN, who's a 20-year-old. There will be moments, as they say, that will feed families, right, that will give people hope and optimism, but that's not a real third line with Kopp and Compher. And you're putting a 20-year-old seventh-round pick on your first line. You may have a 20-year-old on your top four blue line. Now, it may be the right thing long-term. That is not the move you're making if you're making the playoffs.
John? What just happened?
I don't know. I mean, the comments on Twitch are epic. Absolutely epic. Epic.
He looks like Jesus from The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Just dumber.
Yeah, the Jesus. No, it's the Jesus.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Costa's going to save Yzerman's job.
Oh.
Are you really burying the Wings before the season, before the first puck is dropped?
Before season start, we always set the expectations for our local teams. What do you think the Lions are going
to
do? What do you think the
really
Tigers are going
to
do?
Right now.
What do you think the Wings are going to do? No, hold on. Everybody's telling me this is a playoff team? That's the consensus in Detroit today is the Red Wings are a playoff team.
I don't think it's everybody. I think I'm in the minority.
Okay, then everybody else can disco with me. That's 10 years without the playoffs when they miss this year.
That's a good omen.
Yeah, I know. In fact, not only is it a good omen... Yeah, I mean, this might be a Stanley Cup team by this point.
All right, let's get to the phones.
Yeah, they'll make it to the playoffs and he won't pick them.
Keith in Oak Park, you want to talk some Tigers? Is this Keith from yesterday?
Yes, it is.
Good morning, Keith. How was the day with your grandson?
John, absolutely fantastic. Absolutely. By the way, I'm turning him into a Michigan fan, too. Just, you'd be proud to know that.
Hey, Grandpa of the
anyways,
Year.
No, we had a great time. We really did. Obviously, as you know, it started out slow. We were down 3-0, and it looked like it was just going to be ugly. And then all of a sudden, everything changed by the fifth inning, and we started scoring all those runs, and that little boy had the best time. Besides, I got him souvenirs at the game and food, what's there not to like.
Uh-huh.
He went home and was telling my kids how much fun he had with Grandpa and how he got taken out of school. Then my granddaughter was upset with me because she wanted to go to the game too. And she doesn't know a baseball from a football. I think she just wanted to get out of school. But regardless, we had the best time, John. We really did. It was so much fun.
Oh, that's really great. And it gets even better because, there's a hockey game on the horizon too, right?
Yes, we're going Saturday night to the hockey game. I'm actually taking all three grandchildren. My wife, who's grandma, they're sleeping over. We're taking all three grandchildren to the hockey game Saturday night.
This might be the greatest 4-day stretch for a grandpa and grandkids and in history. That's amazing. So when Riley Green hit the home run or when Javi hit the home run, what was the reaction from your grandson?
When Riley Green happens to be his favorite player.
Mm.
So he was just the smile on his face was from ear to ear. He was jumping up and down. They were giving us those orange towels. They were giving them out at the game. and he was waving his orange towel and jumping up and down, and oh, he was so excited. He really was. He loves Riley Green. He talks about Riley Green all the time.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Keith.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Congratulations on a great day with your grandson, and congratulations on the great weekend with all the grandkids.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Do you want me to call back Monday and give you a report about the Red Wing game?
Only if they win.
Yeah, only if they win, and they put old cookies here in his place early on.
Okay, sounds good. Guys, have a great show and have a great day, and let's go Tigers, and let's go Red Wings, let's go Lions, let's go all Detroit teams. And John, go Blue.
Go Blue.
I'm a big Michigan fan.
Go Blue. Keep influence
right,
on those grandkids.
Take care,
thanks,
guys.
Keith.
Yep.
That's such a great story.
It's a great story. You want some of these ticket techs?
Yeah.
Costa looks like a poor man's Willy Wonka.
Yes. So you've got the comparisons to the Jesus and Willy Wonka.
Where do you even find a shirt like that, Damon and Graham Blank?
Well, it's got to be online, right?
It's like an Amazon deal.
No one actually sells those in stores.
No,
stocks them.
It's not the 70s. Costa's right. The Wings have been away for a while, so everyone has let their optimism creep in. They've done the same thing every single year the last 3 years. They did not get better this offseason. Tech says they will make the playoffs. Young players are the real deal. They'll be exactly what's missing. Gibson's a massive upgrade from Talbot, and Talbot's a massive upgrade from Lyon as a backup. Big steps for Edvinson and Casper. They will make the playoffs. Sam and GR.
There you go.
Jim, what happened? Last year you said you'd never double-digit disco again. I lied. Tech says,
or you just don't learn. I mean, so now you're doing both in the same day. You are burying a team and double digit discoing in the same time. And history is going to repeat itself.
Red Wings will make the playoffs. Derek and Wyandotte. Let's go Red Wings. Costa can't make it one day without being negative. It's just built into him. Sad.
By the way, if you can't see Twitch right now, there is now a picture of Jim on Twitter.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. I'm sure it's flattering.
And it says Casa just double digit discoed the Wings out of the playoffs.
10 years, no playoff hockey. I wish it wasn't true. I wish they had a more impactful offseason. I wish we weren't relying on 20-year-olds.
So, this prevents us from the whole bit of the car flag because you're not allowed to anymore.
Show me. Show me. I've done the car flags. I've invested my own money. I go to all these games. I still will be this year. I'm going to root like hell for them, but I don't think they're getting in the playoffs.
I don't know that you're going to root like hell for them.
John, I want to go and watch good hockey. I don't think I'm going to get a playoff berth this year, which will be a decade for all of us in Hockey Town without playoff hockey.
Funny you brought up the flags because I was actually thinking if the Tigers win Friday night, it could legitimately be like one flag on each window because all four teams are playing right now.
Oh boy. I don't know. I mean, it would be like his little car would be on a treadmill. It can't overcome that resistance, right?
Quick, someone commission an October in the D song.
I'll have to stop by his house and tow him in.
Oh God.
It'll be like a float on the parade. You'll be waving out the window.
With that shirt on.
We'll get Thursday touchdown later in the hour. More of your phone calls next, 97.1.
All right, you guys, I've got to tell you, getting a hot tub was one of the best decisions I've ever made. Because there's nothing like just walking into your own backyard, you know, stepping into that warm water after a really long day. It's like instant relaxation. And it's someplace I can go to unwind. I can go there to hang out with my family or just enjoy, you know, a little peace and quiet. And if you've ever thought about getting your own hot tub, this is your moment. You've got to go check out Beninati Pool and Spa. They're in Utica right next to Jimmy John's Field. Plus, they have this brand new showroom in Clinton Township right off M59 and I-94. And they have so many options and their staff is so knowledgeable and they'll help you pick out the perfect hot tub for you and your family. Plus, right now, if you go in and you mention my name, they'll take $500 off your purchase just like that. So go visit BeninatiPools.com or stop by Utica or Clinton Township and see why so many people, including me, love the Beninati experience.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Let's get right to the phone calls. We'll get to Heather's news, Thursday touchdown, story of the day, the Tigers season. Still here, still going, still alive. John, you're next. You're on 97.1.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
What's up?
Hey, so I'm a big Tigers fan, and I always will be. But deep down, I just don't think we deserve to win this series.
Like, why?
When I see Seattle's fans and our fans, I see both of us going through the same kind of playoff drought. And what does their team do at the deadline? They get Suarez and Naylor, and what do we get? We get Finnegan. I just don't, and my biggest fear is that Scott Harris is going to look at this team and how he didn't add any players and think that that's fine for the future, you know?
So, we've actually outscored him in the series. It is tied 2-2, and I'm not necessarily sure I'm buying into you don't think we deserve to win the series. We beat Cleveland, so we deserve to be here. We've earned the right for a fifth game, even though it's been ugly at times. And if they win on Friday night, they will have done more than Seattle did, and they will by certainly deserve to win the series.
Yeah, I don't know. When I get past World Series teams, they just – our Tigers teams do not remind me of that, you know?
Nobody's saying that this team is destined to be World Series champs. We're talking about this series right now. That's going to a fifth game.
Isn't that the goal in the first place, though?
That's always series? The goal.
I'm a little confused with this phone call. Like, you can't win the World Series if you don't win the ALCS. You can't win the ALCS if you don't win the ALDS. Do we think it's likely the Tigers are winning the World Series as we sit today? No, but I'm here to find out. I mean, well, what if Scott Harris was right? Isn't that a good thing at the end of the day? You know what I mean? I know I would rather him add at the deadline. I think that would have given them a better chance to win.
Sure.
Is it a bad thing if the team wins in spite of their general manager's lackluster trade deadline? That's a bad thing? It's not a bad thing, guys.
No. And just because as fans, and we always think we know more than the general manager, we know more. We don't necessarily know all of the details going on or why not did he not add at the trade deadline. We all would have loved that. It's exciting. Maybe they would have better odds. There's no question about it. But it's okay if he is right. And he continues to be right. The players that he protected come up and they actually, I don't know, maybe 2 out of the 10, the top 10 pay off. And they continue to make the postseason. And they're like, I just don't understand the concept of you wanting someone to be so wrong.
Yeah, that phone call, we've gotten variations of it. It was the, I don't want them to make the playoffs. I don't want them to beat Cleveland. I just want the season to end. And now this guy, they don't deserve to win the series. Well, look, they'll deserve to win the series based on how they play in game 5. The only thing they've deserved is the right to play game 5. But as hard as they've made it on themselves and their fans, John, they've responded in elimination spots twice in this postseason. And they'll send Tarek Skubal to the mound. Not an auto win, not a guarantee. But nobody I'd rather give the ball to than Tarek Skubal. He's been a menace in this playoffs. And he's not due in the sense of the hitter that's like 0 for 20 and like is due. Skubal's pitched well enough to win these playoff games. They're due to win a Skubal start. And if they hit even a little bit, which is the caveat, if they hit even a little bit, but they have backed against the wall a couple times already this postseason, they'll win on Friday night. And that's the mindset you and I have. We think they're winning this series.
Yes, I do. And they will have earned it.
No kidding. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Heather with the news.
So the woman who was found on the side of I-96 in Detroit this week has been identified by her family, but the mystery of what happened to her still remains. So if you remember, the woman was found barely conscious on Sunday evening with abrasions and cuts on her body. She has spent the past several days in the hospital being treated for a brain bleed. She's got multiple fractures to her pelvis, to her skull. The woman is currently on a ventilator. She's highly, you know, sedated, so she's not able to share her story or give any insight to what happened to her. So while her family waits for her to hopefully recover, they're just pleading for answers. They want to know what happened to her. Police don't know either whether she was hit by a vehicle, whether she was pushed out of a vehicle, maybe attacked before. They're still trying to piece all that together. So if anybody knows anything, obviously give the police a call. A Detroit mother and her 14-year-old daughter have been arrested after a student at a Detroit elementary and middle school was stabbed. So on Wednesday, a student was stabbed at Gompers Elementary School and Middle School after police say a mother gave her daughter a knife. And it sounds like then that daughter stabbed the student, another student, in the neck and shoulder area after they got into some sort of argument. Police say the knife was detected by a metal detector at the school, but the security guard failed to search the woman. And now that security guard, of course, has been removed under investigation, could be terminated. The victim was taken to the hospital in stable condition. Classes at the school were canceled today. But man, serious incident for sure. Not so serious. So maybe it depends. Let's hear how he feels about it. Taylor Swift's The Life of a Showgirl is out now. And many tracks, of course, are dedicated to her fiance, Travis Kelce. And the song Would, in particular, has raised some eyebrows with its references to his manhood, right? Well, on Wednesday's episode of the New Heights podcast, Travis shared his thoughts on the track.
Only a conversation you can really have with your brother. Yes. It just happens to be recorded and videoed and put out there for all to see.
That's funny. So every year I feel like police are called over Halloween decorations. And usually the decorations are harmless. They're just like too realistic looking or something like that. And the police are called. Well, this year already, a man in Kentucky was actually arrested for his Halloween decorations in his front yard. So this guy's Halloween display featured fake bodies in body bags, and they were all labeled with the names of city officials. So it was very specific, very targeted, very threatening. The man was arrested and charged with third-degree terroristic threatening and intimidating a witness in the legal process. Yikes.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. It sounds like his decorations are still under investigation. Hey, if you're a thrill seeker and you're up for a spooky challenge this year, this could be for you. The oldest and possibly most haunted hotel in Las Vegas is hosting a contest where you basically go and you spend a weekend ghost hunting. This is at the El Cortez Hotel and Casino, and the goal is to win a $5,000 prize. Mm-hmm. You're also going to get flown there, set up with hotel accommodations as well. But only one lucky soul will be chosen to participate. And apparently, this is the longest running hotel and casino in Vegas, situated downtown on Fremont Street. And basically, what you go is you go for the weekend. They're going to set you up with all these different, you know, ghost hunting equipment, and you have to just kind of go and take pictures and document your experience with any scary encounters.
Tis the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the contest runs from October 6th through October 31st.
All right. Cool. It's Heather with the news. Congrats to our Red Wing ticket winner, Alec in Plymouth. Listened. He heard Mickey Redmond's Bingo Bango. He called in. He won a pair of tickets for tonight. The Red Wings kick off their centennial season against the Montreal Canadiens at Little Caesars Arena. For tickets and info, visit DetroitRedWings.com.
Hey, value-driven banking begins with First Merchants Bank. When I have questions about my finances, I turn to my bank. That's First Merchants Bank. And I know that their attentive local bankers are 100% interested in listening to my situation and in helping me find the answers that I need. First Merchants doesn't provide cookie-cutter solutions or check off boxes when it comes to financial advice. They're going to take the time to learn about my life and my personal financial goals and work with me to build a plan that fits my situation. And that's because First Merchants Bank really cares. They see me as a person, not just as a number, and they're going to do all they can to help their customers and communities succeed. And you can count on that since First Merchants Bank is staffed by local bankers who know and are passionate about the needs of the local community because it's their community as well. And we all have to work together to help it continue to prosper. To get started on your personalized financial solution today, all you have to do is visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com, First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC.
Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. Heather, you just brought something up off air, like how differently things are from one day to the next with this team.
Well, yesterday, people were calling in talking about how it was like watching a family member starve to death, right? It was just like doom and gloom. And now today we're, woohoo! You know, it's we've risen. Like, it's just crazy. You just don't know the inconsistency. It's so wild. You just don't know what you're going to get.
They lived.
And the ballpark was alive very much. Yesterday, it was the guy that said it's like a starving family member. It's a baseball team is a comparison to a pet that's dying that needs to be put out of its misery. Someone called in and said there's like a Dahmer effect here. Yeah. Seattle's like making us watch them eat our heart. Like that was one day ago.
Yeah. It's bizarre. But again, it's like sports are inexplicable. Mm-hmm. They can be maddening, they can be frustrating, they can be torturous. All of those things can be true at once. But the joy that comes with winning is why we put ourselves through it. Whether you're an athlete or a fan, the ultimate joy of winning, there's nothing that compares.
And I think we tried, I mean, 4-hour show, tried yesterday as much as we wanted to tap into the frustration of the fans who went to that ballpark and had nothing to cheer about. We did remind people the series wasn't over. And we made the case, if you find a way to win game four, you have the edge in game five. You have the biggest advantage you could have. You're throwing Tarek Skubal. Far from a guarantee, but this is where you want to be. And John, for them to do it, not like a 2-1 win where like they stranded a bunch of runners, to win where the bats came alive and scored the most runs they've had since like early September.
Mm-hmm.
To do it in an elimination spot? Yeah, dude, I think people are going to buy back in and get hype and be ready to go for Friday night.
Well, just think about it. I mean, we talked about how this team hadn't been able to score more than 4 runs. Well, in one inning, they scored 3. In another inning, they scored 4.
How big was it they were back-to-back?
Piling on, yeah.
Like how much you tie the game at 3, okay? And that was good. To not have the game sit level.
Mm-hmm.
But to immediately tack on with Riley Green's home run and then Javier Bay's home run, and they would go on to score 9 unanswered runs.
Yeah.
Like they did not allow for some tense 8-9 inning. Oh boy, AJ's already used Finnegan. Do we have enough arms? And Melton was very good. But they didn't even let it come down to a tense bullpen moment.
And the night could not have looked any darker when all of a sudden, hey, Finnegan comes in, bases loaded, no one out. And they get out of that inning with just giving up 1 run. Like it really could not have looked more like the season is over in the 4th inning.
The ballpark was restless. Like I was there, and in that frame where the bases are loaded, AJ pulls Mize early, and everyone's kind of going, what the hell is he doing? He's got 6 strikeouts. Let him go a little longer. I don't want to have to go 6 innings with the bullpen. And the first guy he picks out of the bullpen is Holton, who didn't record an out. So you can imagine what people were saying and thinking in the general vibes at Comerica Park. It's like, dude, we're going to be heading for the exits. This is going to be a 4-5 run inning. Game's going to be over before we even get to their pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, Finnegan only gives up the 1.
I mean, there are big moments in that game. That may have been, on the negative side, the biggest moment.
Yeah, most people are going to call in and highlight the home runs.
Sure, the home run. We even had one talk about the Torque, hit down the line that could have gone either way, but they called it fair. Like there are so many moments in that game that were so joyous, and you're never going to sit there and say, "Oh, well, it was joyous to only give up one run." But bases were loaded against this lineup, and Finnegan comes in with no one out, and they only give up 1 run.
So there's a lot of moments to single out. And you guys have been great all show today. 248-539-9797. And we want to know, like, the psyche shift. Do you now go into Friday night thinking, we're winning this game?
We're winning this game, and we're winning this series. We're going to be in the ALCS.
We're going to have home playoff games still to come.
Mm.
Let's get to Andrew in Oxford. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller in a long time. I wanted to comment on some of the people that are calling in, you know, saying, hey, we're not that team. We're not that World Series team. We don't have that roster. You know, when you look at it from last year and how we finished and how it kind of snowballed into this year, and, yeah, we went from August through September in a drought, but, I mean, we held on. We've held on throughout the series with the Guardians. We're holding on with the series with the Mariners. Our bats came back yesterday. I think this is something that we're going to build momentum on. Kill game five when it comes to the Mariners with Skubal on the mound. Get some run support. Have that tremendous defense that we've had. And, you know, as we go into the championship series for the American League, you know, it's anybody's shot. You punch your ticket into the postseason, you've got your opportunity to take it to the World Series. And I agree, we don't have that roster, but we've got the guys that have that locker room to kind of come together and start bringing some joy back to the Detroit baseball.
And then you do start, if you make the ALCS, you start thinking about the other teams that have won the World Series as underdogs. Like the Cardinals did it to us in 06 as not a particularly good baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
And there's outliers. You're hoping to be an outlier once you make the ALCS. I mean, that's the whole point. Let's get to John. You're next up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, I think I had a bit of a hot take yesterday in disagreeing with a lot of the phone calls. It actually kind of reminded me, for you guys, hearing that caller two calls ago, still saying that Detroit hasn't earned its spot. And to go in yesterday, I ended up getting to show up about an hour and a half before the game. I got a call I could get over there. And, man, what a wonderful atmosphere. To watch them come back from three down, you could see their timing was coming along with the pitchers at that time. It was just a matter of time before they could break it open. And so for that one person that sent that message in, I went ahead and threw my clown suit on, got to that game, cheered the boys on, and got to watch an awesome win at home. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
I love the callback, the clown suit. Well, get your rah-rah out of here with your clown suit.
It's just the difference a day makes. It's the difference incredible. A game makes.
You know, we talked about them in a lot of ways being dead or near death or people wanting them to be put to death.
Oh, they were on life support.
And now suddenly everyone's feeling alive.
Oh, yeah. They checked out of the hospital and they are flourishing. Feels
yeah.
like.
Yeah. Well, that's what nine runs will do for you. Like I said, if they had won 2-1, we'd go, yeah, they eked it out, but I don't know what these bats, if they can find a way. You score nine runs?
Yeah, and it's...
And by the way, a lot of that against their bullpen?
Sure. And here's the thing, too, is everybody... up until that nine-run outburst, how are we going to score runs? How are we going to... Where is the offense? Well, through the course of this series, the Tigers have outscored the Mariners 18-16.
In large part because of... You know, that game yesterday.
Okay, yeah. And so the day before, they had eight.
That was theirs. Yes.
Before that, it was trading off 3-2 wins.
The other thing that hasn't come up yet, and we got another hour, and we'll do Dear John at 9:35, but we're still going to talk Tiger baseball. Call in. We're going to keep taking your phone calls. Friday night, we get Kerry Carpenter against George Kirby.
How's that going?
Kerry Carpenter has 5 career home runs against Kirby. He had 4 coming into the playoffs and treated him to a 5th in game 1. And it put them in this position of, do we pull our starter early or not? Now AJ's got Carp in the leadoff spot. He's going to push that matchup. As favorable a matchup as Detroit has in this series is Carpenter against Kirby Friday night. That pitching matchup, Skubal and Kirby, it's brought to you by Old National Bank. We'll get more of your phone calls next, 97.1.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights.
Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.